The following is a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We are a caring and inclusive church, seeking to know Christ and share grace with our community. We worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary at 55 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, and on our website at fumcpittsfield.org. We hope that you are blessed as you listen to this message.
Today's reading is from Genesis 28, 10 through 19. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there. When the sun had set, he took one of the stones at that place and put it near his head. Then he lay down there. He dreamed and saw a raised staircase, its foundation on earth and its top touching the sky. God's messengers were ascending and descending on it. Suddenly, the Lord was standing on it, saying, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will become like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west, east, north, and south. Every family of earth will be blessed because of you and your descendants. I am with you now. I will protect you everywhere you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done everything that I have promised you. When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought of himself. The Lord is definitely in this place, but I didn't know it. He was terrified and thought, this sacred place is awesome. It's none other than God's house and the entrance to heaven. After Jacob got up early in the morning, he took the stone that he had put near his head, set it up on a sacred pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He named the sacred place Bethlehem.
Currently distracted by the fact that sign up there says that today is the eighth day after Pentecost. Is Pentico like a new, like, big box shopping store? Costco, Pentico? I forgot the Well, that's all right. God will forgive a little Anyway. So I have a friend who's going through some stuff right now. She's been through more than anyone her age should have to experience, and it just keeps coming. One thing after another. The other day she needed some help to run an errand, and I said, well, of course, I'll help. It involved kind of a long drive, but, you know, I was happy to help, and she needed to get it done. And then after that, she needed another assist, and I'm like, sure, you know I got you. Because it's hard to stand by when people are in need, especially when it's something that you can easily do, and especially when it's someone that you care about. So I said, hey, you know, I got you. And the look of relief that was on her face was almost heartbreaking. It was like she didn't expect that anyone was on her side, that anyone would be there when she needed. I was thinking about that and today's reading, and I suddenly thought of a song lyric, which is kind of how I operate. Everything connects to my head in song somehow. And I did a little digging, maybe 10 minutes of digging, no more than 10 minutes of digging. And I got to tell you, I made kind of a startling discovery. The number of songs out there whose premise is that someone is going to be there for you, or, you know, with you or someone else, it's staggering. It's staggering the number of places this appears in our culture. I didn't know this one. Does anyone know who Jess Glynn is? I don't know, this is one of the first that popped up. It's, I don't know how it goes. Oh, I'll be there when you need a little love. I've got a little love to share. You'll never be alone. I'll be there for you. That's the kind of song I was looking for. And I discovered a lot of them. This is a Canadian group, another one that I've never heard, but the theme, I'll be there for you, was, you know, subtly present. I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll be there for you. I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll be there for you. When you're down and down on your luck, no ride home and got too drunk, well, I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll be there for you, yeah. So I didn't know that one. But there are some, I don't know this particular song, but do you remember the Escape Club? And Laglise is back there nodding her head. I knew at least one person would know this. Just think of me and I'll be there. A couple people. Through wind and rain, I'll be there. There were a few that I did recognize. This one, you know. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, 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 yeah. You've got a friend. Hey, little James Taylor, there's there. There was The Pretenders, right? This isn't exactly the same. I'll stand by you. I'll stand by you, won't let nobody hurt you. It's not exactly I'll be there, but it's kind of the same idea, right? There was, of course, this one. Do you remember this song? This song gets stuck in, this is the song that I thought of, and it gets stuck in my head. It's not exactly I'll be there for you, but it's kind of the same thing. You remember this? Let me be there in your morning. Let me be there in your night. Let me change whatever's wrong and make it right. Oh, make it right. Remember that? All I ask you is let me be there. See, what was the next one? We had the Four Tops, right? I'll be there with the love that'll shelter you. You remember that one? We've got, clicking too fast. You and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. Where there is love, I'll be there. Yeah, there you go. Need a little help back here. The first UMC2. That's just a brief, quick search. That was a quick, quick search. And there were a ton of these songs out there. And I have to wonder, what is it about us, about human beings, that these songs mean so much to us, that they're so powerful to us? What is it about us that needs the kind of reassurance, this kind of reassurance so much, that it's built this deeply and this thoroughly into our society? Do we need to hear that people are there for us so badly because we're convinced that they're not? I'll be there for you. These five words I swear to you. When you breathe, I want to be the air for you. I'll be there for you. Had to bring a little Bon Jovi to the party, right? I think there's a fundamental piece of us that can feel alone, particularly when things aren't going the way that we want them to, when it's too hard or the load is too heavy, when we're frustrated, when the things that we love are being taken away, or maybe the things that we love and the people we love are walking away from us, when we have to face a diagnosis or when we have to face the consequences of our own choices, when we have to face the music rather than dancing to it, right? When we're afraid, when we're on the run, we feel isolated, and we feel like whatever it is, we have to face it alone. Even if we're surrounded by people who will look us in the face and say, I got you. But then the most amazing thing happens is someone does look at us, someone catches our attention, someone captures our spirit for just a moment and does say that, I got you, you're not alone, I'm with you. And someone reminds us we're not alone, and it's like the sun breaking through the clouds. It's life changing, it's perspective changing, and it lightens the burden. And it can give us hope, even in the most hopeless of places. In today's reading, Jacob was in that hopeless place. Now, Jacob is in this hopeless place kind of by his own doing, all right? He's not blameless here. Basically, Jacob stole his brother's blessing and his brother's birthright. With the help of his mother, Rebekah, Jacob conspired to trick his father, Isaac, Abraham's son, Isaac, into giving him those things which were by right his brother's. And when Esau found out what Jacob had done, well, he said, okay, I'm going to kill him. Right? And if I kill him, all that stuff is mine again, because I'll be the only son. Rebekah was told what her elder son Esau was planning, so she summoned her younger son Jacob and said to him, Esau, your brother, is planning revenge. He plans to kill you. So now, my son, listen to me. Get up and escape to my brother Laban in Haran. Live with him for a short while until your brother's rage subsides, until your brother's anger at you goes away and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send for you and bring you back from there. Why should I suffer the loss of both of you on one day? Mother of the year right there, huh? You took everything from your brother, basically, you know, because I told you to, and he's mad and, you know, can't figure out why. But go for away for a while, and he'll forget you stole everything important in his life, and then you can come home. Okay. But Jacob isn't blameless in this. In finding himself in this place of hopelessness, Jacob bears the responsibility of his own actions. But he was on the run, and he was scared, and with good reason. Well, because this is what we know about Esau. When the young men Jacob and Esau grew up, Esau became an outdoorsman who knew how to hunt. And Jacob became a quiet man who stayed at home. So yeah, maybe he knew he had to run from Esau because he wasn't coming out of that struggle on the good side. So he ran. But God had promised that Abraham's descendants would be a great nation. And Isaac was Abraham's heir. And even though it was a stolen birthright, Jacob was Isaac's heir. An heir to the promise. God had promised that Abraham's line would be blessed to be a blessing to the world. And Isaac, Abraham's son, received Isaac's blessing. And Jacob, even though it was a stolen blessing, received Isaac's blessing. Though again, both the birthright and the blessing were stolen, even that was not enough to turn God away. And so now Isaac, on the run, just trying to escape his brother's legitimate wrath, fell asleep in the wilderness with a rock for a pillow, and he dreamed. Suddenly the Lord was standing on the ladder and saying, I am the Lord God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will become like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the east, or the west, the east, the north, and the south. Every family of the earth will be blessed because of you and your descendants. I am with you now, and I will protect you everywhere you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done everything that I have promised you. Now that is a powerful dream. Even though it strikes me as a trifle unfair, doesn't it? Isn't that a little unfair? I mean, you know it is, right? Jacob stole it all. None of it was his. That should have been Esau dreaming of God's blessings and God's provision and God's protection. Esau was the elder child and should have been the heir of Isaac. How is this fair? Well, it's not fair. Of course it's not fair. We know it's not fair. But God never promised fairness. I mean, if God treated us fairly, God treated me the way I deserve to be treated, there'd just be this smoking pile of rubble up here. If God treated us the way we deserve to be treated, not many of us would come out well. When I was a kid, I was always the one in my family that had the drive. I was the younger son, but I was always the one who was getting out and doing what needed to be done. I would ask for chores around the house so that I could get a little extra money. The day I was old enough, at my 15 and a half birthday, I went out and got a work permit and I got a job because I wanted to earn my money. I bought my own car. I paid for my own gas. I did my own thing. My brother was a little different. My brother was the opposite. He didn't want a job. In fact, he had to be forced to get his first job. In fact, the reason he got his first job is my mom said, go out and find your brother a job. So I went out and I found my brother a job at a Dairy Queen. And when I was in high school, I was working about 30 hours a week at my job. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Still love it to this day. Can't get enough. Except it has Pepsi products, which makes me sad. Anyway, he was working at Dairy Queen about 12 hours a week. And the reason he would not work more than 12 hours a week, he's like, I can't work more than 12 hours a week. I've got school. I've got marching band. How can I work more than 12 hours a week? I'm like, well, I got school and I got marching band. And I work 30 hours a week. So, you know, I was the one who was out there trying to get it done. And once in a while, it infuriated me. Just every once in a while, it made me angry. I remember there was one time that I wanted to do something with some friends on a day when we didn't have school for some reason. And for some reason, I don't know why, I didn't have enough money at the time, but my brother also wanted to do something with his friends on that same day we didn't have school. So my mom gave him money. And when I said, hey, I could use a little here, she said, I'm sorry, I gave all my cash to him. I felt like the older brother from the prodigal son, right? I'm standing there like, I never ask for anything. I help around the house, I do all these things, and not once. This one time, I want to have some fun with my friends, and you kill the fatted calf for him. He does nothing, he helps no one, he does nothing around the house, and you keep giving him money, and you can't help me the one time I ask, and that's not fair. And all she said was, sorry. And that was it. It wasn't fair. But her job wasn't to be fair. Her job was to teach us and to keep us safe and to raise us to be good people and to love us. It wasn't to judge us against each other, but to love us and cherish us and understand us as who we were individually. To love us in spite of our mistakes and our often admittedly petty disagreements. And although I still can't understand, sometimes I can't wrap my mind around why fairness wasn't more of a concern in that one particular incident. Not that I'm still bitter about it. I turned out how I am because of all of the ways that she raised me. And you know what? My brother turned out to be one of the most diligent and hardest working people I know. Again, because of all of the ways that she raised him, even if they didn't make sense to me at the time, or, you know, now. Human fairness isn't one of God's concerns. God deals with the ups and downs of life, with the rights and wrongs of choices, in an entirely different frame of reference from anything that we use as people, from anything that we can understand as people. We don't understand it. We can't understand it. I don't understand personally. I don't understand how a murderer dying in prison might repent on that last moment of life and receive salvation. And how is that fair? Sometimes I wonder, and yet I hear, oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. To every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. And I don't get it. But God's promise isn't fairness. God's promise is so much greater. I said that my mother's job wasn't to be fair, but to teach us, raise us, and love us. But she had another job that I didn't mention. I remember the first time a girl broke up with me. Remember the Mexican restaurant Chi-Chi's? This was a long time ago, right? We went to Chi-Chi's, and we just sat there and ate chips and salsa while I complained, and she sat there with me. My first dog was hit by a van and died, and I took it really hard. And I sat there on the front steps of my porch, just inconsolable, and she sat there next to me, and she was with me. I remember in particular the day I had to drop out of college. She was 640 miles away, but she sat on the phone with me as I ranted and raved about my lost and ruined future. She was so far away from me physically, and I felt so alone and so isolated and so hopeless, but she was there for me on the phone until I was ready to let her go. Jacob, running, afraid, alone, dreamt a dream of God, reminding him that God was on his side. And he had that aha moment, that moment that he realized that he wasn't alone, that someone he could trust was absolutely, absolutely by his side, that he didn't need to be afraid. When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought to himself, the Lord is definitely in this place. But I didn't know it. God was there for him. Even though by human standards of fairness, we might have decided he deserved God's condemnation, God was there for him even though he was afraid. God was there for him even though he was unworthy. God was there for him even though he felt utterly alone. God was there for him. God promised that God would shelter the children of Abraham and that the world would be blessed through them. And so, yes, God kept God's promise, but I don't think God kept God's promise just because of the covenant. think God was there for Jacob simply because Jacob was God's child too. And God just loved him too much to let him go. You know, sometimes we can't help but feel alone. Sometimes in our fear and our despair and our anger, we can't help but feel like there's no one on our side, no one we can trust, no one we can turn to, no one who will be there for us. But like Jacob, who really had no right to expect God's blessing, who knew that it wasn't fair that he should receive the blessing and the birthright that should have been his brother's. But like Jacob, it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter why we're afraid. It doesn't matter if we're fleeing the consequences of our own actions or the potential consequences of someone else's. It doesn't matter if we're afraid of what's going on in our bodies or in our communities or in our world. It doesn't matter if we think we've offended our families or even if we think we've offended God. God is always there for us, no matter what. God's love and God's protection, God's mercy, God's compassion, God's redemption, God's grace. These are God's gifts to us. Not earned, never earned. But because we didn't earn them by our words or our actions, neither can we lose them. Not by our words, not by our actions. In fact, because they are God's gifts to us, we simply can never lose them at all. I don't know about you, but that truth makes me want to sing.
This has been a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Thank you for listening, and God bless.